It is the Branson Podcast Network and our continuing series, which focuses on our heroes that surround us right here in Ozark Mountain Country. From police to fire to emergency responders, first responders, and so much more. These are the unsung heroes and the stories of service and keeping our community connected together. It is powered and presented by Arvest Bank. It is the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series. This is our latest episode. I'm your host, Josh Grisham. And of course, my co-host, the lovely Pam Yancey, is out for this particular episode. But joining me, dear friend of mine, who it's been a while since we've seen each other, Melissa Box with Arvest Bank. Melissa, welcome to this edition of the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series. I'm glad you could join us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here today and also very excited to learn more about our guest today. So I appreciate it.
Well, I will tell you what, we have been through the first several episodes of the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series, and we have had just some very, very inspirational stories. And folks, I will tell you, it keeps us connected. It grounds us, and it gives us really an unprecedented look into the lives of our emergency workers, really from all walks of life and all respective fields here in Ozark Mountain Country. I think about our law enforcement personnel. We did have Law Enforcement Week not too long ago, and now we really have a chance to really go in-depth inside Taney County and the Taney County Sheriff's Office, most notably. And we have our special guest, Mr. Isaac Johnson, here today for this particular episode. Isaac, I cannot say thank you enough, man. Thanks for joining us for this episode.
Yes, Josh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today and be able to have this discussion with you guys. And it's a hot one, so I'm glad we're in here in the AC, and I'm looking forward to it.
It is the summer heat. It is officially on here as the solstice has settled into Ozark Mountain Country in a major way. We've had temps that have been up in the 100-degree mark, and I think about our line workers. I think about past episodes that we've had and those that are out serving in the police community. And folks, I will tell you, we're not talking about wearing Crocs around Ozark Mountain Country and shorts and a t-shirt. No. We're talking about full regalia, full outfits, and in many cases, you're wearing some body armor out there on 100-degree weather, and that just adds to the stress load of a typical workday. Isaac, first things first, my friend, I just want to ask you, when it came to law enforcement, are you a local boy here in Ozark Mountain Country, or did you move here from out of the area?
I wasn't born here, but I've been living here the last 20 years.
20 years, so 2 decades.
Yes, sir. And my family moved here in the early 2000s. I think it was 2001, 2002. My father moved us here from Southeast Kansas, where we're from.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Southeast Kansas, can I ask about that? For home for you, same to this area? I mean, we're growing quite a bit.
It's a lot different.
Was it smaller?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I went to a small little country school that had probably about 10 kids in it, and probably about 5 out of those 10 were my family members or cousins of some sort.
Isaac, holy cow.
So it was a little bit of a culture shock when we first moved here, as I went from 1 third grade to 25 third grades at Branson School District.
Oh, but, my gosh.
I am a Branson graduate. So
what year did you graduate from Branson?
2011.
2011. My gosh. See, that just reminds me about how old I am. 2011 for Isaac and 1997 for me. Holy cow. So really, this is leading me down this arc. I'm starting to think of Superman and Clark Kent, small Kansas town, family moves, and then here you are, the world opens up in Branson, Missouri. Was there any history of law enforcement in your family, perhaps on your mother's side or your father's side?
Not to my knowledge that I know of. Okay. Both of my parents are public servants. My mom's a teacher at Branson Junior High.
How long has she been doing that, teaching?
I want to say she's working on 20 years. I think she's got about a couple, 3 or 4 more to go until she's eligible for retirement. And my dad, he's worked in the hospital my entire life. He's a registered nurse. He did cardiovascular heart surgery, was on a heart team for several years. I want to say I should have called and asked him before I confirmed, but I want to say it was about a 16 or 17 year deal. And that's what brought us to the Ozarks, is he helped start the first heart team at Skaggs Hospital.
That is fantastic. Well, to your mother and father, those long hours in public service, and I know your dad goes without saying, I can imagine there are long days. I mean, you as a family giving him up to work those long hours and save lives in the hospital and be a part of the trauma teams, I can imagine what that is like. But your mother also molding and shaping young minds, that's a very, very big deal. So I love the fact that there is an element of public service in your family.
Yes, sir.
Did that get instilled upon you? And just let me ask you, when it came to just values and serving others, what sticks out most in your mind? What did mom and dad tell you growing up as a kid that has stuck with you into adulthood?
You know, I was raised, I have two older brothers. My family of, my parents have three kids. I'm the youngest boy.
Me too. Right.
So
on.
I'm the baby. Yes.
Yeah. We're both the babies. I love it.
And you know, it's odd to Josh. I can't tell you my parents, they did. I mean, they were a huge block in my life.
Yeah.
Without them, I'm sure I'm not where I would be today. Absolutely. But my dad, I think the one thing that I'm going to say is, while I was growing up, my father would work a lot of hours. He'd get called out for cases on with the heart team and stuff like that. And I've never heard the man one time complain about work in my entire life.
That's a good ethic. That's a very strong ethic.
It is. And I think the one thing that they instilled in me growing up is, you know, you have to be compassionate with for others. You have to care. It's not just about doing the right thing. It's about empathizing and sympathizing and being able to know the difference between both, but get on somebody's level and, really feel for them and let them know that you care and show them that you care. And, I think that probably has helped me the most, I would say, in my law enforcement career this far. It's one of the things that I go back and think about a lot.
You had a really good, strong foundation, a grounded, level-headed approach, and good principles coming down to you as a young man. And, I mean, I love the fact that it starts with mom and dad. You can look back on it fondly. You carry it with you, and you're not afraid to say thank you and show that off. I think that's very, very cool. For you, how old were you when you decided to pursue a career in law enforcement and get connected with the Taney County Sheriff's Office? How young were you when you got started on all this?
So I looked into joining the academy. I dropped out of college. Okay. I was a college athlete. Got burnout. Education, I wanted to be there for the sports side of things, but didn't really tend to the educational side like I should have, which I should apologize to my mom, but she's aware of that, and she gives me grace. But at 20 years old, I applied for the MSA, Missouri Sheriff's Association and Training Academy in Reed Spring. And at the age of 20, I got accepted.
You were young.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I started wearing the uniform right out the gate at 21 years old.
And that's incredible.
I will tell you, it was a I look back on it now, and that was an odd time. Like, it was, as I was still developing myself. And you don't get... In the community we work in today and just people in general, a lot of people will look at you right off rip and judge you, and they'll either not give you respect or they'll give you, you know what I mean? So you kind of have to be careful how you do your thing. But
was it tough for you going into the academy? Did you experience that? Did you have some doubters?
Yeah, it was stressful. The same time that I went into the academy in 2014, it was whenever Mike Brown happened in Ferguson. So Ferguson happened that August. I joined the academy in January. So I went in January, and then by the summertime over, we had Mike Brown. And so, of course, like, I'm sitting there, the news, social media, and just the mass hysteria behind that. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what am I getting myself into?
Imagine just on a psych level.
Oh, absolutely. It makes you wonder if you're cut out for this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully for our area, we got it really good here. Like,
we're lucky.
We are lucky. Like, we have,
doesn't mean we're 100% clean, but we are lucky.
No, 100%. We are so supported in this community. Mm-hmm. And it's what makes it so great to work here.
Yeah.
I mean, we, like you just mentioned, we have law enforcement recognition week right here in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. And if that can say anything, like, we're pro law enforcement here and we're supported by our community, it makes it easier to do our jobs. And I think that I realized that pretty early on too, because I had great leadership and great mentors in the academy that affirmed that. And, you know, anything that's worth doing is, it's going the hard, going, getting through it is just the best way to learn.
And, yeah.
Sometimes the best way out is through. And so I just stuck with it and it's paid off. They told me in the academy, I graduated with, I believe, 22. We started with like 25.
That's
we
a small
lost
class.
A couple, we so lost a couple a along the way. Yes, sir. Just various things. But I mean, some people just knew they weren't cut out for it. They did a gut check and good for them. You know, it's hard to swallow your ego and say, hey, this ain't for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they told us in the academy that if you made it past, it was a 5-year burnout mark. And if you got through those first 5 years, then you would most likely make this job a career. And when I got through my 5-year mark, like, you know, that was my, it was a goal, but I didn't have my mind just set on that. Like, once I started getting in the field and wearing the uniform and serving the community and handling calls and doing investigations and getting, being thorough and getting to the bottom of things, I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I'll be honest with you, I obsessed. Like, there was a time in my life where I didn't want to be out of that uniform. I didn't want to be out of that car. I wanted to be in the community, and I wanted to be putting criminals away that were doing bad things into our community. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so at 21, you know, starting that, it was weird. It was a huge learning curve.
That is surreal. That is
and
so
on the
surreal.
County level. And to be even just, I think back, just to be trusted at 21, mm-hmm. you know, like I didn't have any, there's processes and a lot of it on the county level, like guys start in the jail or they start in the courthouse working as a bailiff, kind of starting to work their way up.
Yeah.
And man, I just got thrown right in and said, hey, yeah, we want to give you a job. And I didn't start at Tanya County. I worked at Stone County.
Okay.
Under Doug Rader. He was my mentor.
You couldn't ask for a better man.
He is a good man.
Alongside.
I'm very appreciative that I've had him, and he helped me along the way. And but ultimately, business decision, family matters and whatnot. Nothing against him or no complaints against the Stone County Sheriff's Office. They're a great agency with great guys over there that do great work. I wanted to get back home to Taney County and Branson community. I thought, man, what better than way to give back to my community by serving?
Yeah.
So,
oh man. I mean, seriously, I mean, growing up, I mean, coming through the academy, Doug Rader, I mean, wow. I am consistently impressed with the people that you've attached yourself with. Doug Rader, the academy, the challenges, 5 years in, starting out so young and then getting thrown right into service right away. Really, no rest for the weary. I got to ask now, looking forward after all this time, now we're up to 2023. Are you married? And if so, do you have kids?
I'm engaged. I have a fiance that lives at home. We're due to be wedded in October.
Congratulations.
And if I can give her a shout out, I want to say hi to her.
Please
do. Amy, she's been my true north for the last 2 years that we've been together. I have a 7-year-old son that's named Sawyer. He is a Branson student.
Oh my gosh.
And he's my world. I would say a lot of the reason on every day that I do what I do, getting out of bed, is because of them two right there. So yeah, we reside outside the community. We're living in Ozark now. But yeah, we do good. We're doing all right. And
man,
we're looking forward to our wedding. We're getting married on the beach. So we're set to be married on the beach in October, and then we're going to celebrate down here with our friends and family later on in November.
Congratulations. That's awesome. October nuptials coming up, and you've got the family going on. I love that. I always ask the questions because families, there are great families behind the men and women that serve and give back to the communities. Getting together with Miss Amy, obviously, you know, you guys have had that talk and she knows what your job is. I'd love you just to speak on the human side of that, because I love going inside that family dynamic and really giving folks out there that listen to these episodes a big appreciation. I mean, that's it right there. I mean, you go out there to serve the community. You know, you have no idea what the day is going to bring, how long or short the day is going to be. What's that like between you and Amy, and how tough is that, her coming to grips with you serving in law enforcement? What's that like for you just on the family side and having her come to grips with that?
It's stressful. Every day that I leave, when I'm at work, she tells me to come home. She gives me a hug and a kiss, and she says, come home to me. I have a placard on my keychain that she put on there that says exactly that. She works in the emergency department of a hospital. So she's an RN. So we share a lot of the same clientele, especially in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a very, like, she's got a very good understanding of what my job is. And my support at home has been the best that it's ever been in my career these last 2 years.
That's awesome.
And it's made every bit of difference in my personal life. Like, it's a lot to balance what I do for a living and personal life, mm-hmm. having kids, having a fiance or girlfriend or wife. It is a lot and it's stressful, but like I said, with her, I mean, she is my rock. Like, I trust that woman beyond 100%. she's strong and mentally tough, one of the most mentally tough person I've ever met. And she works long hours too. And, you know, doing what she does, it's just, we have an understanding for each other, and it's just 100% support.
Oh, so. Well, and the acumen, mental acuity, the toughness, she has got to see a lot. Just, I mean, in ER, trauma, accidents, you name it.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you about that, and I have asked several others that come before you, and I know it's not going to be the last time I ask that. You made that good point about being in the field, both of you, and you can expand on what Amy's going through as well. Being a dad, you're out here, and you're serving, putting in these long days, but at the end of the day, you got to go home, and you got to be Isaac, the boyfriend, Isaac, the soon-to-be husband,
mm-hmm.
but also Isaac, the father.
Yes, sir.
What's it like for you on your toughest day to your regular day to be able to come home, be able to shut that off? How do you do that, and what do you do to get through it? Because your words here would be good advice for your fellow brethren and the women that are also in law enforcement. What is that like for you, and how do you shut that off?
Yeah, I think the best advice that I could give any first responder going home to their families after a tough day or anything is, it's going to depend on the situation. Like, she knows that if I'm going to talk to her about something, if something's bothering me, she can tell right off rip. Like, she can pick up on it, and mm-hmm. we'll talk about it. I usually try to mostly leave it at the threshold whenever I get home, that whatever happened in the field or whatever I dealt with that night, I don't try to bring home with me and let it be a problem in my household.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that get really, really good at that. Now, is there nights or days where it's completely overwhelming and it's shattering? Yeah, sure. We have, you know, there's days where I come home and I don't feel like making any decisions. I don't care what it is. I just spent 12 hours making the hardest decisions on that impact life, exponentially,
mm-hmm.
With a half a second to make that decision. And so, yeah, I mean, we do good. She'll pick up on it if I've had a tough night. We stay in communication. I'll talk to her a little bit, you know, a little every now and then in between when I have breaks on shift or whatever. And she does too when she's on shift. When she's working, she's gone. Like, she'll stay gone several days as she works in Joplin. But,
Wow.
It's a good situation though, because like when I come home sometimes, like, and she's there, that's better for me. Like, I prefer she is there, you know, because I don't like to come home to an empty house, especially after a rough night at work.
Oh, of course.
And it becomes a lot to balance. Mm-hmm. It just does. But you find that niche, and you can't grasp too much onto the things that are out of your control. What you have control over, you do what you can with, the best that you can do with it. And yeah, I mean, I try to maintain a mentality like my job is to serve the community with every out resource that I can give them with what they're bringing to me as a complaint. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And so it's like I try to go above and beyond, and just the calling of just, hey, let me answer your complaint. Like, I want them to know that I care, that we care as a Taney County Sheriff's Office, that we're going to look into your incident. And then sometimes, like, we don't always prevail, right? And so there's not a very high success rate. Like, we know that sometimes we're not going to prevail, and we understand that, but we can still let them know, like, we're taking this seriously. And so when I come home, like, I come home feeling like I did absolutely everything I could in my authority and my power. Not that it's about that, but just in my responsibilities, that I did everything I could for them.
Yeah.
And I hit the pillow with a good conscience, knowing that I did everything I could for them. And I leave it at that, you know.
At that point, you can rest easy, can't you?
Correct. But yeah, she, on the tough days, just leaning on her more, leaning on Sawyer more. And it took me a while to understand that, mm-hmm. in my own ignorance and in my young age. But
like,
I didn't realize.
Like, opening yourself back up.
Yeah, correct. Know? Yeah, because I think in law enforcement especially, and I think in a lot of areas of first responders, you know, we have to be tough. We carry around a mentality of, like, we can't let that bother us. Like, you can't show that bothers us. And it's cost me a little bit. Like, I won't sit here and tell you, like, I've had a perfect life. Like, I've made some mistakes along the way.
It's the human side.
Yeah, absolutely.
None of us are perfect.
Absolutely. And I think that the best approach on that is just having ownership of that, and just having extreme ownership and moving on from that, and accepting reality is, okay, I was that way, but I don't have to continue to be that way. I can open up and let them know, like, hey, yeah, that ain't right. That ain't normal. And it bothers me, you know?
And anybody that's probably around you that serves alongside you, family, friends, they appreciate the vulnerable side of Isaac Johnson.
Yes. And it's gotten a lot better over the last, I would say, last 5 years than it was in my first 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd say in my first 5 years, I definitely would put a cork on it. Mm-hmm. And I would just act tough and like, oh, no, that's, you know, that's.
Did it ever, in that first five, did it ever catch up with you?
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, divorced at a very early age. And
that's not easy.
In my early marriage. And
you and me both.
Yeah. So I realized that was because I wasn't tending, like, it wasn't all her fault, right? Like, mm-hmm. I had a part in it too. And I realized I was the way that I was. And I've tried to come back from that and not be the same. And yeah, I would say that's, mm-hmm. that's taught me a lot for sure.
And it's not always easy. The most traumatic things, it's not easy for us to just set it aside and then leave it here. Depending upon the level of trauma, it can go with you.
Absolutely.
It can go with you and you can carry it with you. And this is kind of a spotlight, and I've done this with every guest I've had. Love to do this with you. And it's not an easy question, but I asked most recently Jonathan Tudor with TCAD. He and I were talking, and I've asked every guest, take me inside your most difficult day that you've had in the field.
Oh man!
Because I know you've had it. I know you've had it.
There's been a lot.
And Jonathan Tudor and some of the line workers that we've had on our prior episodes, we've talked about the duck boat tragedy. We've talked about Joplin. We've talked about the Leap Day tornado here. Jonathan framed up a level of trauma because, I mean, in TCAD, I mean, gosh, I mean, they started out doing 24-hour days, and then they went from that to 12, and it got a lot better. But he told me the story, and he's a dad, just like you are,
mm-hmm.
in the field, having a mother that had never met him before, in an emergency situation, hand over a 7-month-old. Save my child.
Yep.
And they were able to save the child. But I asked Jonathan, I said, you're a dad. And you have to do that in the course of 12 hours. And you have to come home.
Yep.
Just a good example. But I'd love you if you feel comfortable enough. I really want people to understand the difficulties of the field. Just what has been your most difficult day? What was that like? Just take us inside and tell us how you got through it. What happened?
I know the duck incident's been touched on. I'll let you know, I was one of the first people that arrived on scene at the duck incident. Actually, a second uniformed officer that was on scene.
Wow.
And I don't want to call anyone out, but Stone County Sheriff's Office, SRO, Sean Fields, was on the duck boat when I arrived. And I was actually doing park patrols that evening and checked on about 20 minutes prior to that incident happening and was coming across 265 by the chateau whenever they said, hey, we need you to roll over there. There's an incident going on. So, I mean, I was over there, snap of a finger. I would say that was really difficult. It was my first MASH casualty. I will tell you, I've learned a lot about MCI since then, as I didn't even really know where to begin.
When you got the call and you were en route, did they just told you there was an incident?
Yeah.
Were you getting more information on the
way
so you knew what you were getting into?
Yes, they had information of a capsized duck boat, and that was what I got. I didn't know the number of casualties.
You had
I didn't
no
know the
idea.
Number of yeah, no clue. So when I had arrived, in a traumatic event like that, you'd be surprised how good it feels to see a familiar face. And mm-hmm. working with Sean, knowing Sean from when I was at my days in Stone County, that I saw him and I'm like, hey, yo, what do you need? Where do you need me? But he wasn't in uniform. He was down to his pants in the water, getting people out, and God bless his soul. You know, he is an amazing man for doing that. 'Cause I couldn't find myself in the chaos of that, just finding the presence of mind of, hey, I'm going in.
Yeah, yeah.
I was dealing with so many, like, just so much stuff on the deck and so much mm-hmm. stuff in the bev area of the boat, like, with the children. And the pediatrics are the worst. Like, God bless TCA and John Tudor for being able to sit in here and talk to you about pediatrics, because children are the hardest. And I will say I'll move on. If that's been something that you guys have discussed with other people, that's affected a lot of people in our community. You know, it didn't really bother me at the time I was there, kind of, again, going back to the egotistical, I got to put a cork on this. I can't let it show that it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But it did. It didn't bother me until about a couple weeks after, you know.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, it didn't really. Some people, like, they don't experience traumatic events until a lot afterwards.
It's weird how people process it. Everybody's different.
It is. And so I would say dealing with any child, abuse of a child's the worst, or, you know, further assault offenses that mm-hmm. we don't really need to get in on over the air. Those are just super tough to work.
Yeah.
And I would say in particular, I had an abuse case just this last year where child was, you know, abused by a, for a good term would be by a babysitter. So basically someone where this parent had trusted this person to have their child, and, I mean, still going through the processes. So it's, you know, it's innocent until, you know.
Proven guilty.
Correct. And so I don't want to say too much over the air, but it's like, you know, dealing with that was tough. Like, child had a lot of markings, the worst markings I've ever seen, consistent markings with ligature markings and stuff like that. And then whenever you get into that type of passion in an assault, it's very difficult to grasp that that's out there, there's that type of evil out there. But that's exactly why I got into this line of work. I got into this line of work to deal with very evil people and lock them away and put them in jail so that our community can be clean. It can be ridded of any negativity that's coming from crime. So I would say, yeah, definitely any of those two scenarios that I just mentioned to you would be a very, very, very tough day for me at work.
Oh, so. Well, and every situation is different. We talked about, you know, first responders, TCAD, you know, you're getting fed information from dispatch, you're en route to a call, and you're getting a larger picture while you're on the way, and just the assessment time, and you're kind of understanding what you're going to into when you go there.
And I can't imagine, Josh, like with the duck incident, like, okay, so like on a 911 call, when they give you a 911 call and mm-hmm. they send you in route, like, okay, you're thinking, you're going through all the what if scenarios in your head, and it sounds completely terrible at the time. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
The degree of it is a 10 out of 10 of seriousness. Right. So mm-hmm. that's how we respond. Right. Usually when we get there though, it's like, wait a second.
This is not
3 or 4 or 5 degrees down from what I thought, from what I was being told. And I'll tell you, the duck incident was one of those ones where I got there. This is worse than what I was reported being told to go around.
Ugh.
And I can think back, like, honestly, that's probably one of the only ones I can sit here and confidently tell you, like, that was a lot worse than mm-hmm. what we were being advised on 911.
You can't frame a 10 in that situation.
Yeah, no.
Oh. Since you've been here in the area, since your family settled in and you've established yourself with the Taney County Sheriff's Office, being here in Ozark Mountain Country, I mean, I think you would agree with me. It's a blessing for many of us. It's a privilege. We're lucky to be in this area because we're surrounded by people that genuinely care. Philanthropic efforts, charitable organizations, nonprofits. What's been the best thing that you've gotten out of the community since you've been here?
Do you mean like
whether it's a Yeah, whether it's a connection to your family or just living life, what's the best thing that you've gotten, would you say?
I would say the best thing that I've got is I work for a great community that supports me, and we're overwhelmed by support here.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it a lot easier for me to be able to go out and do my job when I know I have support rather than a microscope hanging over my head.
Yeah, yeah.
The best thing that I personally have, mm-hmm. yeah, is my life with my family.
Yeah.
And I love it here. I couldn't imagine. I don't want to live anywhere else. I don't want to move away from here. I don't want to start a family elsewhere or give somewhere else a shot or whatever. I think we live in the best area in America, and I'm probably biased. But we still have it really, really good here in a lot of ways, not just from first responder, but like, people will say this is the worst of times. Yeah, sure, it's the worst of times, but it's the best of times too. Like the way we have life,
right?
Like, yeah, absolutely. The way we have it and what we have, the resources, the tools, mm-hmm. Just you can get into so much, you know. But yeah, I mean, I enjoy my life and I enjoy what I do. I can't imagine doing anything else. I don't want to do anything else. And I love serving. Like, I have a servant's heart. Like, I was born to do what I do. And I 100% believe that. And most guys are going to be like, wow, listen to him. He's being Mr. He's getting in his bag, you know, but honestly, like I know I'm not the only one. And I think what feels good is like, I know that I work with a lot of people that is the exact same and they think the same way.
Nobody can say you're getting into your bag on this episode, young man. You go back and you replay Isaac's words at the beginning of this when we're talking about mom and dad. You start there, and then you can't say he's going into his bag. It starts with mom and dad. There's a solid foundation there. And to do what you do, to put in the long hours, let me ask about that. Just the longest day, from the time you clock in, the time you get to go home, what's your longest day? How many hours?
Oh,
just to help the community understand kind of what long day for Isaac Johnson.
We're pushing the 20 to 24-hour mark definitely, easily.
Wow.
And that's not healthy. Don't sit here and let me tell people that that's normal, because that's not a normal day.
It's not normal, and it's not easy. It's not easy to do.
I had an incident early on in my career where I had officer-involved shooting. One of my coworkers got into a shooting, and we had a big manhunt. And I was in the hunt. I didn't want to get out of it, and we just stayed right on hunting, and that was a long day. Like, I worked all overnight, well into the morning and maybe the early afternoon the following day, and that's been several times that's happened. Not that particular incident like that, but just that kind of hours. It's definitely like that.
When you go on manhunts, and I mean you drop that term, and now I've got to ask, my curiosity as a radio man just goes into overdrive. You probably have seen both kinds. You probably have seen urban and you have seen backwoods manhunts. And would I be correct and safe to say?
Yes, sir. Mostly backwoods, especially here.
In Ozark Mountain country,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. And so now, you know, obviously, we as community members, we go, well, when Isaac Johnson says manhunt, we're talking backwoods. We're thinking of the movies. We're thinking of the Fugitive. When you go into that, on a typical manhunt here in Ozark Mountain Country, Taney County, in the backwoods, how many men are typically involved in your standard manhunt? And me, I'm thinking of movies. I'm thinking we got dogs involved. We got helicopters, choppers. What's that like just here in Ozark Mountain Country to bring a suspect in a manhunt?
We have some amazing resources here in Taney County.
Right on.
You wouldn't believe some of the resources that we have access to. Just the access the sheriff has. It's a lot.
That's
a lot of
great
authority. Usually when we have those types of hunts, you're talking about a right off, like when it first starts, you're talking probably about a 4 or 5 QR, like a quick reaction team to get together, collected.
Wow.
If you have a canine, great.
Mm-hmm.
Gather the canine. Canine needs, you know, trackers with them. And you're just right behind the dog and you're on the move. Like you're on, they're on
the dog's
scent.
Not stopping. Yeah.
Correct. And those dogs are very well trained in what they do. And so if their nose is down and they're moving, you got to move with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, about 4 or 5 guys. Luckily for us here, like I said, we got some good resources. We can call for support from the air, from the Highway Patrol. Branson Choppers came out and done stuff for us sometimes every now and then, not particularly on manhunts, but like maybe missing people in a very wide rural area where we're covering a lot of ground on foot with a lot of units in different places, and they'll come out and help us. But yeah, about 4 or 5 guys usually.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you need more, then more. But yeah, 4 or 5 should probably get it done.
Fantastic.
So,
I want to ask, and this is fun for me because I've not really had a chance to really address this or ask this question. You're the first one up. But in your field, obviously, I know there's a lot of crosswork. You know, different investigations, different jobs, different response times. We're talking about all of our county fire teams out there, other first responders, other sheriff's departments, Branson Police, Eric Schmidt. Buddy, I just love to expand on it. You know, working with other departments, other fields, when you're addressing a situation with the Taney County Sheriff's Office, what's that like for you? Just working with other departments and bringing everybody together to increase rapid response. What's that like for you? And just talk to me about just respect amongst other departments working together.
It's great.
Awesome.
Taney County sets the standard, I believe, in professionalism and courtesy and response. Central Taney Fire, Western Taney Fire, Branson Fire, Branson PD. I mean, I feel like we set the standard when it comes to law enforcement presence, law enforcement response, and the type of response that you get in an emergency situation. It's world class. Like, it's TCA is a national recognized ALS ambulance service. Like, they can save lives in the back of those ambulances. It's amazing. Like, and I think people, I don't know if they may realize it, but you know, some don't. Like, we, if you have an emergency here, like, you're going to get world-class response. Like, it's very professional. It's very to the standard. Even in my opinion, I'm biased. It's above standard. We set the standard here. And it's like, you know, it's great. And when we go somewhere and I have people like TCA or I have fire, like, fire is so well-trained in this area. And a lot of the fire here is, it's a volunteer basis. So you got volunteers coming out here setting the standard on response and care and all the stuff. So it's great. When you roll somewhere and you see them there, it's like you can take a sigh, because it's like, okay, I got good backing here.
And it's, you know, it's good to know that you all do and that you have each other's backs. I think about most recently I was announcer for Powerboat Nationals, and I was seeing TCAD down there. I was seeing Swift Water Rescue, Towboat USA. It's a multifaceted approach. And you don't always think about that. You may see somebody in uniform, but there's more departments than what you may see. I think about how much your life has changed just since you came on board. You've got the Thunder Ridge Arena. You've got venues that have got 25,000 plus people moving through there. You got to work with traffic. You got to hopefully not have an incident at a concert where somebody gets out of order, and then all of a sudden the sheriff's office is called in, and and a situation that may seem calm can turn on a dime. And again, with this, Isaac Johnson is our special guest here on this edition of the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast. Melissa Box in with Arvest Bank. And Melissa's just seeing us go through this, telling these stories and letting Isaac have the floor. I just got to say again, bless your mom and dad. Bless your family aesthetic. Bless Amy and Sawyer for giving you up every single day to go out into the field and to do what you do. Mad respect to your family, because it's a lot. And community members, we don't always see that. And it's amazing that you get a chance to come in and just give us that down-to-earth side of you and your family, your commitment to serve, your servant's heart. You make Taney County better. You help us protect life, property, the things that are most important to us.
Yes, sir.
And as community members, I just want you to know it doesn't go unnoticed. And the fact that we can tell this story, that's why we do this, to give the community a whole new level of hindsight and appreciation. Buddy, here's a fun question, and this really is the capper question for you. And this is fun for us, because Isaac Johnson, out in the community, doing what you do, somebody comes up to you, and I'm hoping that you've heard this. If not, it needs to be said. Somebody comes up to you and says, Isaac, thank you. Thank you very, very much. If you've ever had somebody look at you and say, Isaac, you're my hero, I'd love you to just take a second and frame that up. If somebody does say thank you, or you've often been referred to as a hero, what does that mean to you personally? What defines a hero in your field or serving others?
I mean, in that moment, it's reality. You don't, like, when you're out here putting rubber to the road, and it can become so overwhelming that you feel like you're not making a difference, but you are. Like, without your efforts, without my fellow brethren and sisters' efforts, like, it wouldn't be a very fun place to live here. I mean, just, it takes me back, and I like to use this phrase, like, I'm a part of something that's a lot bigger than myself, and honestly, like, that's all I can ask for. In my life, like, I've never thought about anything from a monetary value mindset. Like, it's never occurred to me that I need to wake up and make the most amount of money today. Like, it's more about how I'm spending my time, who I'm spending it around. Mm-hmm. And that's more important to me. And I think when people thank me, that's what it makes me think. It's like, whoa, it reminds me that I still have it really good here, where I can be on a break, and I could kick my phone to Instagram, and I can see something really negative going on in an area in the world, and I can just have the presence of mind and thankfulness to be like, man, at least we don't have it like that here, and we never would, because we wouldn't allow it, you know? And yeah, in those moments, it's very humbling. It sets me down and humbles me, and it just makes me realize, like, man, I'm really a part of something that's truly bigger than myself, and what more can you really ask for?
That is so, so huge. I cannot say thank you enough. Just well spoken. I'm glad you got into the field that you are. I'm glad to know that you decided to settle here. Your family came here. I just want to say thank you again for being on this episode of the program. Love to give you a parting word. You're thinking about your fellow emergency workers out there in the field, whether in the sheriff's office, Branson police, or even in the ambulance district out there. If you'd like to tell some folks out there that may have a story that deserves to be highlighted, what would you most want to tell them to encourage them to go to the Branson Podcast Network site and nominate somebody so we can tell that story? What would you most want to tell them to encourage them to make that nomination?
Yeah, go, and it's nervous at first to think that you're being nominated for something talking in the public, and I appreciate Sheriff Brad Daniels for thinking of me and nominating me. He's a great man to work for, and I hope to continue to work for him for a while, to be honest with you. I would just, tell him go do it. Face what, to get better at things, you got to face things that scare you or make you a little bit nervous, and you just got to face your fears and just, go nominate somebody that's doing a good job and recognize them, because honestly, to these inline workers in the field, some people don't realize how good it is. Just feels good to just be recognized that you're just doing a good job. We go most of our career, most of our incidents and our cases go where they go, and then that's where they end. The recognition doesn't happen. There's just so much good happening here in Taney County, in first responder world realm and community, that there'd be, we could be in here all day, could line people up out the store, but yeah, they should nominate them.
Everybody that is listening to this episode of the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series, folks, this is why we tell the stories, because there's unsung heroes around us every single day. We tell you their story, we share their day, we share their life, and there's an appreciation there. They serve. They make the choice to go in the field to make our community better, to bring that next emergency worker to the Ozarks that start out their career, whether it's age 20 or younger than that. We're going to find those stories. Isaac Johnson, sir. Thank you for allowing us to tell your story.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, Melissa, thank you for sitting in and being my Pam Yancey today. I really appreciate it. What'd you think of Isaac's story?
I thought that Isaac's story was amazing, and I really appreciate you sharing your story. We can see your heart and your compassion, and it's very heartwarming. So I appreciate that.
Folks, I will tell you again, Isaac framed it up very, very well. If you are out there and you're listening to this series and you are an emergency worker, we want to tell your story. Nominate somebody today. You can do that at BransonPodcastNetwork.com. Arvest Cares, the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series, and our special guest representing the Taney County Sheriff's Department, a great, great career and many, many more years ahead of him. He is blessed. He's solidifying his family in October. Isaac Johnson is our special guest, and this is the Branson Podcast Network.